Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
If you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, simply go to aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Remember, your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air.
On today's broadcast, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Joining me today is someone I deeply admire, Pastor Sam Rodriguez. He's a best-selling author, lead pastor of New Season Church in Sacramento, California, and he's recognized as one of the most influential faith leaders in America. Today, we're talking about his latest book, Fresh Oil, Holy Fire, New Wine, Living the Vibrant, Holy Spirit-Filled Life. In it, Sam shows how each of us can live in freedom and experience the power of a vibrant, spirit-filled life. Here now is Pastor Sam Rodriguez. Sammy, my friend, thank you so much for joining me today.
Great to be with you. Honored to be with you. Thank you for having me.
It's always a blessing to be able to connect with you and just to hear the wealth of wisdom and knowledge that God has placed on your heart. Hey, as we open up, speak to what God is doing, though, through New Seasons Church, Sammy, and maybe some of the things you're most excited about in this season of your life and ministry.
Yeah, we're bi-coastal, so we live in California and Pennsylvania. My parents, and I said bi-coastal for clarity purposes there for your audience. We're originally from Pennsylvania. I'm a Lehigh University grad. I went to Penn State and so forth, attended Penn State, graduated from Lehigh University. And so my parents are still with us. They're in their 80s, so we're traveling back and forth and taking care of them indeed. But no, God's up to something absolutely amazing. Everywhere we travel across America and around the world, just came from New Zealand, from Peru, from Brazil, from Helsinki, Finland. It's literally been a world tour. And everywhere I go, the good news of the gospel reaching primarily Generation Z, Zach.
Yes.
Which is pretty amazing, Dr. Clinton. I mean, there's a generation embracing the fullness of the finished work of Christ in record-breaking numbers. There's good news in the horizon indeed.
Yes, indeed. You know what, Pastor Sam? God is continuing to use you in powerful ways. You've been someone that has influenced my life in the way that now I lead in countless ways. And know my dad, he loves you so, so much. He admires you. Our whole family, we adore the Rodriguezes, so we're grateful for you, my friend. But I want to ask the question just up front. You know, obviously with this new book, Fresh Oil, Holy Fire, New Wine, why did God, do you feel like, place it on your heart to write this for such a time as this, especially as you're trying to reach a generation where it seems as if revival is striking all across our country?
Two things real quick. One, the sentiment is mutual. Two, thank you for redeeming the Clinton name. Number three, does the Holy Spirit make you weird or wired? That's it. That's what drove me. Does the Holy Spirit make you weird or wired? There is so much angst, consternation, theological, not discourse, maybe a chasm, a divide around this subject matter. And it's more than a subject matter. It's you know, the triune God, the third person, the Trinity, it's a person indeed. But so much division in the church, right? So I wrote a book about, does the Holy Spirit make you weird or wired? The Holy Spirit does not make you weird. He makes you wired. What does that mean? He connects you to the fullness of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Everything Jesus paid for on the cross and through his resurrection becomes real in you, with you, for you, and through you via the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's theology 101. So I wanted to connect everyone to what that looks like because it is a powerful, vibrant life indeed.
Mm. Pastor Sammy, in knowing that you're really tackling that topic of does the Holy Spirit make you weird or wired, which I absolutely love, I also am just drawn to the title of this book. So before we really dive in and unpack the different layers, and you just alluded to so many times people within the church that maybe have different flavors of Christianity, different denominations, they don't actually tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want to talk about the title, Fresh Oil, Holy Fire, New Wine. Speak to the importance of that title and really where that came from.
These are all biblically substantiated phrases, metaphors for the indwelling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament to the New Testament to fresh oil. Psalm 92, verse 10, the psalmist declared, when I'm weak, You give me the strength of a buffalo. You anoint me with fresh oil. Remember David in Psalm 23, the quintessential psalm, right? What does God do in the presence of your enemies? He anoints your head with oil. David was anointed three times with oil. We know from the book of Exodus what that anointing looks like upon Aaron and the subsequent heirs, kings and priests and prophets. The anointing, Jesus said in Luke 4, I have been anointed to bring good news to the poor. There's that word again, anointing. In the book of James, we are to call the elders who are to anoint those who are sick and pray over them. It's the reality of old and new. There's continuity. It's all about the Holy Spirit. I'll give you one verse, 1 John 2:27. This is what John said. For you have received the anointing. It is the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. That right there, my friend, is the clearest definition of the oil. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit empowerment. It's God's anointing upon your assignment. It's God's purpose and promise coming together for such a time as this, all for the glory of his name. It's the fresh oil. And I do believe as a church, we need fresh oil. We really do. Remember Matthew, those beautiful last chapters of Matthew, Matthew 26 and 27, 28, we are to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But then we get into, hey, make sure your lamps are filled with oil. Because when the bridegroom comes for his bride, and of course, the parable of the 10 virgins, he's looking for those that have fresh oil. So we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is more than we need to live a life full of the Holy Spirit. The church needs fresh oil in order to preach the truth of the risen work of Christ.
Mm. So that's the fresh oil. Speak to the holy fire piece of that, if you would.
Well, the holy fire is to me, Matthew 3:11. You know, John the Baptist declares, I baptize you in water for repentance, but hey, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he who follows me, whose sandals I'm not worthy of tying, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That fire of God, for Christians, it's not punitive. It is not punitive. It is a purifying fire. It's the fire process. It sanctifies, purifies. It removes from us the elements that will serve as a deterrent, as a hindrance to the fullness of the finished work of Christ in you, with you, for you, and through you. That holy fire, listen, I grew up I'm a Baptist Pentecostal, but I grew up, I could easily preach in a Baptist church, which I do all the time, and in a Pentecostal church, a charismatic church. But growing in that beautiful tension of being a Pentecostal, I saw some interesting things happen. And when we pray for, Lord, send your fire, you all need to be careful, because the fire of God doesn't make you dance and shout, my friends. It primarily makes you get on your knees in repentance. I mean, shouting and screaming, I have no qualms of that. You could do that in a praise service and in your worship expression within the context of whatever experience you have that is biblically substantiated. However, the fire of God is about repentance. It's about getting on your face and repenting and acknowledging sin. It's Acts 3:19 and 20. Where there's repentance, there will be a refreshing of God. In other words, where you repent, revival will follow. Repentance, revival, and reformation. That's the pecking order in Scripture. So holy fire is beautiful. My wife is likewise likes to preach and on occasion, and I permit her by the grace of God, because if not, then I have to buy her shoes. So when she teaches, we talk about the holy fire of God in the book of Acts, when the Apostle Paul confronted the snake in Malta. He shook off the snake and cast that snake back into the fire. We have to be careful what we ask for. Wherever there's revival fire, things will be exposed. I'll repeat that for your audience. Wherever there's fire, snakes and vipers, I'm saying that metaphorically, will be exposed. So when we ask for revival fire, be careful what you're asking for, because things that may be hidden will be exposed and brought to the light. And it's that beautiful season of sanctification, purification. I've discovered, Dr. Clinton, that the God of the process is the same God of the outcome. I've discovered that there is no two gods there, just one God. And I am not the byproduct of perfection. I am the byproduct of a process. And he sanctifies us. He purifies us. Here's the phrase that we need to hear more in our church environment in America primarily, but around the world. Holiness matters. Integrity matters. When your integrity is greater than your influence, nothing can stop you. It's integrity over influence. Influence is great, but not if it's greater than your integrity. Integrity has to be greater than influence. And that's Galatians 5:16. Be driven by the Spirit. Here comes the Holy Spirit again. Rather than the leanings of the flesh. 1 Peter 1:16, be holy for I am holy, saith the Lord. That is holy fire. It's beautiful. It sanctifies you. It purifies you. It's uncomfortable. But when it's all said and done, when you get up, my friend, the world will see a version of you that looks more like Jesus. That's holy fire.
Come on, that's so powerful. Like you said, it's integrity over influence. I'm thinking it's holiness over happiness, right? It's being able to recognize that it's the holy fire in our lives, like you said, that exposes the foundation. I remember my cousin one time called my dad and I. We were out playing catch in the backyard, and she said, you know, she was frantic that her house was burning down. And we drove, and I remember seeing this pillar of smoke. And what was fascinating about the whole entire scene, thank God that, you know, everybody's safe. Thank God that nobody was harmed. Everything actually did end up burning to the ground. And I'll never forget coming upon the scene and recognizing that the fire completely exposed the foundation. That's what you're saying. When we're praying for the Holy Spirit's fire in our life, all of a sudden things begin to burn down and we're revealing the areas of our life that maybe aren't the best. That's where God begins to prune us. But the most fascinating thing about that scene walking up on Pastor Sammy was that the only thing in all of the rubbish and all of the rubble and all of the burnt smoke, everything in there, the only thing that had not burnt down or had not even had a page that was singed was God's word. She found her Bible in the midst of everything. Not a single page had been burnt. And it was a fascinating reminder. Like you said, yes, it exposes the fire, but God's word, it sustains throughout it as well. I want to talk now about the new wine, because I think a lot of times we naturally drift back to what's old, what's comfortable, what's familiar, but no, God has created us for something new in this particular season of our life. Speak to the new wine as well, if you would.
That new wine, of course, references Mark 2:22, Jesus speaking about the necessity of a new wine. He's talking about a new creation is required to house the indwelling, the fullness of what he's about to pay for. Isaiah 43:19, the Old Testament application for Israel, but ours through the finished work of Christ. Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not see it? I've already begun. I am making a pathway in the midst of the wilderness and the river out of the dry wasteland. It's the new thing. And of course, nothing beats 2 Corinthians 5:17. When you are in Christ Jesus, what are you? You're a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have been made new. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Your eyes about to see, your ear has never heard before, your mind has never imagined the new things, the wonderful things that God has in store for you. It's the new. It's the new. Here's the news. God wants to do something new in you, with you, for you, and through you for the glory of his name. New. But Isaiah 43:18, and again, doubling down in Philippians, notice how Old and New Testament, they complement one another. The New Testament is the fulfillment, right? It's the upgrade, the fulfillment through Christ. But it's very repetitive. The meta-narrative and the arcs are included. Forget the former things. Paul says that in Philippians. The prophet Isaiah said that in Isaiah 43:18. Forget the past. Forget the former things. It's the new. It's the new. I love the fact that Jesus in John chapter 20 walks into a room. The doors are closed. After the resurrection, his disciples are theologically discombobulated, which is a fancy phrase for they are freaking out, my friend. They have no idea what's next. I mean, some of y'all saw him. Some of you have yet to see him. Did you see him? Did you not see him? What's going on? He comes in. He shows them the scars and the wounds. And then he says, I love this. And then he breathed the Holy Spirit. And why would he breathe the Holy Spirit? Go back to Genesis. When he created man, what did he do after he created man? The form was there. He released upon them his breath. So that's what God does. It's that new wine is the breath of God. It's the ruach, the pneuma of God in us, for us to activate the finished work of Christ in our lives. The new wine. Every single day I wake up with this idea. Let me give you something new, God. Meaning, you know, take my mind every single day, Romans 12:1-2, renew my mind daily. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So give them new ideas, innovation, creativity. All of that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Stop ruminating. I'm using mental health terms for you, only for you, Dr.
Yes.
Clinton.
Yes.
So, you know, the rumination process, the perpetual regurgitation of traumatic experiences, and we all have to confront trauma, but we have to overcome it, and we're not in perpetual victimization modes. Through Christ, we are more than conquerors. We confront in order to overcome, not to live in that season in perpetuity. But man, if we can just give them new ideas and give them a new bandwidth and say, do something new in me, with me, for me, and through me for the glory of your name. 2 Corinthians 3:18, every single day he takes us from the old to the new. It says, this is the way the Apostle Paul writes it, you are transformed daily more and more into the glorious image of Jesus Christ. You go from glory to glory. There's a new version of you every single day, but you have to be cognizant of it. And how you act, how you talk, how you behave, make room for the new, because God wants to do something new in your family, in your life, in your calling, in your purpose for the glory of his name.
The beautiful thing that you're mentioning, Pastor Sammy, is that we are anointed by the Spirit of God to be pruned by him, to be formed into the image of his Son. But at the end of the day, he has something new awaiting us each and every day, right? That is the hope that we continue to live for. That is why we, in a sense, are yearning not just to be in relationship with him, but also to recognize that grace is not anti-effort, it's anti-earning. We can still strive toward the way in which God has created for us. You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, your host today, and joining me on the show has been pastor, author, and leading voice on faith and culture, Pastor Sam Rodriguez. He's truly a man after God's own heart. Together, we've been talking all about his latest book, Fresh Oil, Holy Fire, New Wine, Living the Vibrant, Holy Spirit-Filled Life. You can pick up a copy everywhere books are sold. I'm thinking about you and your wife, Pastor Sammy, your wife, Eva, as you already mentioned. You guys are charismatic in every sense of the word. You have this personality that is so contagious that when I hear you speak, I lean in. I am absorbing, right? I just want to saturate in the wisdom that you share with countless individuals. Clearly, you make it a practice to connect to the Holy Spirit every single day and to allow him, like you said, to bring him something new, but also to allow him to do something new in and through you. Speak to some of the practices that you bring on a daily basis and some of the things you try to bring others through as well in their journeys.
And all by the grace of God, of course, 1 Corinthians 15:10, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. I wake up every single morning and do the one thing. I don't pick up my cell phone. I don't swipe. Don't check my text messages. Don't do any of that. I made a covenant with God. First thing I do, and I do mean first thing. I'm still in bed now. I'm not even out of bed yet. I'm in bed. And the first thing I do is give him thanks. I begin with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with what? And enter his courts with what? So I enter his gates of thanksgiving, enter his courts of praise. I begin by thank you, God, for the finished work of Christ. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for everything Jesus did for me on the cross. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your will and your way. Thank you, Jesus, for your saving grace. And thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for just living in my life, for your indwelling, for the glory of the Father, the grace of the Son, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I just give him thanks. And then I get up and I shower and do everything else. But I give him thanks and I speak to him. That's part of the discipline. I likewise, every single day, live with great intentionality. I'm a very disciplined person by the grace of God. It may be OCD, maybe a bit too much. I need therapy to deal with this. But I am disciplined, meaning I'm very OCD-ish in a redemptive good way and more of the application of the positive, you know, notion of that. And every single day, I line up my heart, my head, and my hand. I want to make certain that my thinking and my emotions and my actions are in perfect sync. That takes effort, heart, head, and hand, inspiration, information, impartation. I want to make sure that there's continuity, a continuum, that there's no glitch in the proverbial matrix. I want to make sure that what I'm feeling is not counterintuitive to the thoughts that are redemptive and biblically substantiated, and that my actions, God forbid, do not line up with integrity and the ethical standards laid out by the Apostle Paul in the letter to the church in Rome. So very, very powerful every single day. And then what I referenced before, Zach, real simple, integrity over influence. I want to make certain when my anointing is greater than my ambition, nothing can stop me. Where my hunger for righteousness is greater than my fear of criticism, nothing can stop me. And when my praise speaks louder than my pain, nothing can stop me. So every single day, I am disciplined in that regard. And I practice it, and I make certain that I am treating myself and the people around me in a way that honors God, and that my testimony is greater than my title. So I live with that understanding. God, you have an assignment for me today, not like this week, this month. You have an assignment for me today. God forbid I go to sleep tonight without fulfilling that assignment. So go ahead, Holy Spirit, have your way. Sometimes it means talking to the barista at Starbucks while I'm ordering my almond milk latte and just going, hey, awkward, maybe weird, you be you, anything I can pray for at all. You know, it's that sort of thing. And it works, my friend. It really works.
And you know, Pastor Sammy, even if God does not, right, bring about the circumstances that you've been praying for, even if God, maybe those things don't come into alignment or don't come to fruition right away, it's okay to continue to pray for those things with that spirit of expectation, with that posture of abundance, knowing that he is capable and that he is willing, that he wants you to experience all of these things in your personal life. So speak to, again, just in a time of cultural relevance, we're talking about praying with the spirit of expectation. I'm thinking about Gen Z. I'm thinking about Gen Alpha. I'm thinking about the next generation coming up through. I'm seeing the revival. You're seeing the revival. You speak about it often all across college campuses. It's amazing what God is doing. Clearly, he is on the move. But in a time of cultural unrest, of a lot of uncertainty, yes, there's a spirit of revival. What is your prayer of expectation for this country and really this world at large?
Dr. Clinton, I just did a conference of 17,000 Generation Z primarily. 17,000 in Alabama, the Legacy Center. And amazing. Then I went to Peru and we had 16,500 there. And I went, what is going on? Went to Europe. And then I saw the report coming out of Europe in a matter of 4 years, a 15% increase. 6% were attending church in 2001. One of the stats right now, it lands at 21% in 4 years.
Wow.
21%. 15% growth in 4 years in the UK, primarily driven by Generation Z young men seeking truth, seeking, or we call it orthodoxy, seeking the fullness of the finished work of Christ is biblically substantiated. Amazing. God is up to something. We are living in the answer to our prayers. This is what your dad and I have been praying for, and what your mom and your dad and I and my wife have been praying for.
Yes.
This is it, the answered prayer, a generational revival where young men and women are coming to Christ, making the Jesus movement look like an opening act. This, my friend, is that. Now, we have to sustain it. We have to undergird this with churches that preach the entire word and don't water down the gospel. Whatever the Bible calls sin, we must call sin. Whatever the Bible calls holy, we must call holy. So we want to make sure we undergird it in local churches. Nevertheless, hashtag, this is the best season ever. More people are coming to Jesus than ever before. This is it, my friends. Let not your heart be troubled. All because what? Back to the theme. The most powerful spirit on the planet. It's not the spirit of moral relativism, cultural decadence, spiritual apathy, ecclesiastical lukewarmness. It's not the spirit of pedophilia and perversion, of sexual deviancy. The number one spirit on the planet is still the Holy Spirit of Almighty God.
Wow. Sam, it's been so great to have you on our radio program. I know how much work you do with my dad, as well as in your ministry internationally and for our culture. So on behalf of the Clintons and our entire team here at the American Association of Christian Counselors, we love you, and we love what you and Eva are doing at New Season Church in Sacramento. I'm excited to see how God is going to continue to use you, to use your wife, your kids, and your new grandbabies. Thank you so much for joining me today, my friend.
Great to be with you. Honored to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.